Hi guys, welcome back to Bailey's TV's Rants. I'm Bailey, and today I'm going to be starting back up with Wynonna Earp Season 4. The first half of Season 4 has already aired, but I'm going back and talking about the first six episodes that have already aired. So today I'll be talking about episodes 1 and 2 of Season 4, and I also have a special guest. Rami, if you know her as Waves Hot on TikTok and Supergirl.Twins on Instagram. I had her on today and we talked about a bunch of stuff. We have about the episode, about the fandom, about TikTok, Twitter. We got the lowdown on everything, and I'm so grateful that she was able to come on and we were able to talk forever. We talked a really long time, and there's going to be some stuff that did not come in this episode that maybe we'll be part of later, but this will be put into two parts because it was so long. So this will be about the episodes first, and then the second part will be us just chit-chatting about the fandom and TikTok and all that good stuff. So hope you guys enjoy.
All right. Hi, guys. Welcome to the podcast. Today, like I said, we have a special guest, Rami. Rami, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Rami. I've been watching Wynonna for about 4 to 5 years now. I live in Australia, and I'm very excited to do this podcast.
Yeah. Let's see if I can change this. Okay, now we can see both of us. All right, so we're going to be going over episode 401 today. Season 4 is back.
Yeah, it's exciting. It came back. Well, the second half will be coming.
Yeah, I started watching when season 3 was airing. I watched season 1 and 2 on Netflix, and then I watched season 3 while it was airing. So I took this break along with them, and I'm assuming you did too.
Oh my God. I started watching when season 2 was airing. Like, yeah. What was it airing? It was like a week before it started airing. So I smashed out season 1, and then I joined on with season 2, and I've loved it ever since. Yeah. And then obviously I made a fan account out of it, and then
All right, let's get right into it. I'm looking at my notes here. All right, so first off, we start with the bar montage of Wynonna, like, getting all her weapons.
Oh, I remember when we got a sneak peek of that, like, Comic-Con, like, the day before, and I was so excited. I was like, oh my God, it's back. Like, they actually got stuff.
And, like, I found that, like, just a really interesting way to start. Like, obviously, they had to start right back up again where season 3 left off, because there was such a cliffhanger with Waverly and Doc in the garden and whatever happened. But the best part of that, there was two things. There was the pause when Wynonna took her flask for the whiskey.
Yeah.
I was like, great, it's actually Wynonna. Like, this is, that's her thing. And then Nedley, which is such a fan shout out, and this is why we love the writers. Mm-hmm. Nedley goes, I feel like I've been standing here for 2 years.
Literally, like, we're sitting there. People who had to wait those 2 years are like, same, I've been sitting here for 2 years too. Like, on the edge of our seats, like, waiting to hear if they were going to get a season 4, like, honestly. So a moment where I sat down in February after I had found out the information, I was like, I think Wynonna's going to get cancelled. And I was, like, full on not in the right headspace. I was like, what am I going to do?
I just started watching the show.
Yeah, the camera techniques in, like, that scene and, like, the quick and slow and the music over the top. Oh,
yeah.
You were in Wynonna the minute the episode started.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. All right, so we're skipping right into some things. I skipped really far with these notes.
Yeah, oh good.
So, you know, Nedley and Wynonna go back to the stairs. Doesn't obviously work because Wynonna can't get in. But, like, Wynonna falling, I would have loved to seen the behind the scenes of that, like, how much Melanie actually fell off of those stairs.
She fell about, I'm trying to figure out in your system. She fell about probably, maybe 10 feet?
10 feet, okay.
Yeah.
Like, herself. I would have been scared. I couldn't. Okay.
Yeah, she fell straight into, like, a
like a mat thing,
Big mat, yeah, big blob mat.
I would hope so. Okay, and then the funniest part, after they did the whole stairs thing, they go back to the homestead and they're going out. And I liked that scene, and I know the cast talked about it, is
The camera scene? Where you follow the camera?
Yeah, and it goes and it changes, like, it changes scenes, yeah. But it's, like, the same scene they filmed, and, like, Jeremy comes in, yeah. And he's writing Valdez on the stairs. That was great.
As a media student watching that, I was like, how did they, that would have been, and you were reminded, all in one shot.
I didn't watch the show, but I had watched a video on it. There's a scene in Haunting of Hill House. Where they were going between like the flashback and the present time, and they were going around the house and doing all that stuff. It kind of reminded me of that because it was like the same kind of situation, but like it was interesting to see like they were connecting the dots between the two timelines with Winona, because Jeremy was like writing with the knife and he's like, why don't you have pens? And then later Winona's like, we don't have pens. No.
Like our pen draws the knife draw sort of thing. Like it corresponds, and to be able to sort of like be filled in on what we missed in a sense, like, because we were like the end of season three happened with like Waverly going into the garden and then Winona being like, what the hell am I supposed to do sort of thing. And then to have that sort of fill in of what happened at the homestead while Winona and Waverly were at the stairs. So
that was really nice. And then you see Black Badge come in, which at the time we don't really know it's Black Badge. And I don't think we still not know? Or am I just assuming here?
I think it's a new form of Black Badge. It's not the original one with Moody and like dolls and stuff. I think that they've been reimbursed or revived for like a new, because they knew about the demons in Purgatory, but this is a new Black Badge to be things beyond Purgatory, like beyond this dimension sort of thing. So
because I remember in season two they did the blood contract thing in like episode one, and then like a few episodes later dolls went back and there was nothing there, so like they had disappeared. So I wonder if they totally went off grid or if they were just starting to do more stuff and this is kind of like their big comeback kind of thing, or if it's like totally different system.
I feel like this new Black Badge is going to be more with the comic Black Badge, which is a lot more military involved with like the higher ups in the government and stuff. Like I really thought, or I hoped that this Black Badge was a branch off what's in the comics, because I would love to delve more into that.
I just started reading the comics, so I'm getting into
it. Oh my god. Oh, the comics are so good. Like I've
read it. I love it.
I haven't delved into any of the stuff pre-show, but I've read all the stuff that went with the show. Yeah.
That's what I've done. Okay. So Negley and Winona and home said, and then Mercedes shows up, but she like the knife throw into the wall.
Yeah. I was so excited that I was like, oh, who is it? Like who's in the house? Like I thought it was Nicole. I was like, it must be Nicole.
Oh, did they stay around?
Yeah, like, did they stay around? And then it was Mercedes, and I was like, wait, the last time I checked, you're, like, what? I was so confused. Like, it was, but then I was like, I'm so glad that she's back, that they brought Danny back for season four. So, yeah.
I want to see Danny again in season four. I think we only saw her, like, episodes one and two or one and three, whenever one Doc went to that demon club.
I want to see more of her, and I did hear, because I was watching a panel, I did hear that Tamara was supposed to come back, but because scheduling issues, they couldn't bring her back. So we were going to get more Rosita, but then it turned out we didn't. But I hope we get more Danny.
I do too. All right, so then those three are all talking up, trying to figure out what's going on, and they're talking about Valdez and who's Valdez, where are they going to find Valdez. So Nedley still kept the files from Doc and all the Black Badge files. And where did he keep those files?
Under the couch.
Under the couch. And then they're like, nobody ever uses this couch. Another nod for the writers.
I wonder if Nicole will ever tell him.
If she does.
Like on their wedding day or something. Oh. Forgot to tell
like
you.
Nedley's walking Nicole down the aisle and Nicole's like, we fucked on your couch, by the way.
You know how me and Waverly like got together?
Right before he hands her off, she's they're like, do you give her weight? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, by the way. And he's just sitting there just like
out, like 3-4 years ago, but that's fine. We're here today. Our first
kiss. I thought you should know.
But like it's just for someone like for Waverly to be such a planner, she could have found another place, but to be there was like, just so sudden and so out of character for her was just like, and it was a good scene.
It was good. I like the I really like that like whole like first season, like kind of like the back half of season one. You kind of see Waverly start to change, and that kind of shows like her changing, and that I feel like that kind of starts her whole kind of change throughout the rest of the seasons, because she's starting to have that spontaneous and feel like herself and kind of do what she loves and be with somebody who she loves. So she kind of is filled back with like emotion and spontaneity, where she's like, I can do whatever. And sometimes definitely. That goes against her
also. Season four Waverly, like I knew it was Waverly. I don't know if it came off the fact that I'd met Dom, but I just had this other feeling like, oh, she's reborn in a sense. Like this is a more developed, more adult version of herself. And it was, it was refreshing seeing her again, like as this other character and someone who was ready to take charge in something that Winona may not be experienced in. Yeah. Because Waverly was always put to the sideline to then be the key to then have like being trapped and having to be the rock now for Nicole as well.
Yeah. There's a lot, and I like having the more focus on Waverly, like because the whole show is pretty much about Winona, but we're really with the end of season three and more in season four, we're coming, it's more of this team factor rather than just Winona. And Waverly's playing such a big role in that, where I really like it. And then you have other people who have their little things that Winona really relies on. And it kind of just makes for this more like ensemble show. And I always like ensemble shows better than just like a lead, because there's so much that can happen. So I'm really excited for more of that in the second half of season four.
I've always been passionate about ensemble shows. Like if there's not like a solid group that is like the main focus of the show, then I'm like, like they do it. Okay. With the Arrowverse shows, there's always like a group, but I still don't see that sort of like companionship that we see in Winona.
Yeah.
Because I feel like the superheroes in those shows feel a lot like they feel a bit more like higher up in the in the group,
and that's in the sense that like they're like, I don't want to say Winona isn't a superhero, because in her own right, in her own way, she is, but they're like actual superheroes. They've been defined as superheroes for years, so they're always up on that pedestal, where Winona is kind of more this hero, but not really, because she doesn't always make the right decisions, but she's always trying to do the right thing, to where she's she in moments can be humbled and will realize like, oh, I need more people. Where in Arrowverse and superhero shows, they're like, no. And they're really stubborn about certain things. And that's why Winona can be stubborn, but everybody else, every other character is like, no, you can't do this by yourself. That's literally not possible.
Yeah.
All right, let's-
You need the help of your mystical sister, cop best friend, like, even though like Nicole is also human, she grounds Winona. She, because Winona's so reckless, and then having that like opposite.
You have this kind of like authority figure.
Yeah.
With Nicole.
Mm.
And talking about Nicole, when we first see Nicole back in this episode, she's on a train with Kate. Kate is also back, and this is the only time we really see her was on this train. I was a little upset because I wanted to see more Kate. Like I was excited about her character in the last half of season three, and I wanted to see more, but this is kind of all we've gotten so far, so I hope we see her again in 4B. But they're on the train and they're trying to figure out, Kate pulls open this electrified lock on the door and Nicole just jumps out the train. Now that stunt devil
Actually,
props to her, because that train was actually moving and she actually jumped off. I was like, that was great.
Also with like the tarot card reading in the train, like
that was, she's like, do you have anything of Waverly's? Me.
Yeah, me. It was like she, and also like calling back to the fact that when Champ is like, oh, you stole my girl, and then Nicole's like, Waverly doesn't belong to anyone, mm-hmm. to then have Nicole be owned in a sense with to Waverly. Because, like, it's the same. Like, I was watching, there's this Irpa on TikTok. You may have watched them. They analyze the characters.
Yeah, I've seen them.
How it's, like, Waverly's always, like, my baby, my. Mm-hmm. And then Nicole's more just to the word. Yeah. And I just love how Nicole would never be, she'd never own Waverly, but it doesn't mean that she wouldn't be owned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I really like, because like that's just shows how much Waverly has grown, where like she's very confident in what she wants and what she has and stuff, where like the very beginning, like she had no idea and was kind of very submissive, where she's come now into this dominant figure in the relationship, where Nicole is more of the one who would be like, oh, I'd do anything for her.
Yeah. She's like, Nicole's literally just turned into a puppy.
She's the puppy dog eyes. Like, come on.
Yeah, literally. Waverly walks into a room, like, Nicole's just like, okay, I have to behave now. Yeah. Like,
okay, and then while Nicole is, before she jumps off the train, she's like, what can I ever do to repay you? And Kate's like, consider naming your firstborn Katie. And I was like, is this, are they going to have kids at some point? Can this be canon? Like,
they have been asked about kids. I want, in a way, for Wayhot to look after kids or have kids of their own.
Well, because they have Rachel, but Rachel's so much older. And I feel like Rachel is more of Nicole's than it is Waverly and Nicole's.
I do feel like in 4B, Waverly and Rachel are going to have some more, like,
I hope so.
Daughter moments, in a way, because especially with, like, her new outfits of 4B, Waverly looks more of an authoritative figure and a more of a mom in a sense.
Yeah. She's like the haircut, and like in the trailer for 4B, she's like, you see the haircut and you see like the blazer and stuff like that. I was like, this is so much more like adult Waverly. Like,
she means business. Like,
yeah, like things are under control.
I would be scared to cross paths with that Waverly over like season 3 Waverly. Like, or like even 4A Waverly. Like, if I passed like Waverly in like what she was wearing in like 403, like the green shirt and the pants, like I'd be like, oh yeah, she's really nice. I would probably turn and run if I'd seen Blazer Waverly. I'd be like, oh, you're not looking on that side.
Yeah. No, and it's very interesting. I'm very interested to see I feel like the change in Waverly from 4A to 4B is going to be pretty dramatic.
Definitely.
The sense of like the trailer and like how she looks and how she acts with the very little we've seen, I'm very interested to see like what has happened between 4A and 4B, because there is, I'm assuming there's a gap, because
there was a time jump between 401 and 402.
Yeah, that's like a year and a half,
obviously. And then Emily did say that there was going to be another time jump between 4A and 4B, so there's probably been at least 2 months in between both like parts of the season.
Yeah, which will be interesting to see. I'm excited. I love these time jump things, because like there's so many more questions to be asked, and like,
yeah, what happened in that time jump? What
exactly?
Yeah, like people are still asking what happened in that 18 days.
Exactly,
months.
Like you don't know anything.
Yeah, because like Nicole hasn't said anything, so maybe we find out. Well, I know that Kat said that we're going to delve more into the PTSD side of Nicole and 4B, and that the fact they're going back to like the monster of the week sort of format, like season one.
Mm-hmm.
I like the whole monster of the week. Having monster of the week, like sort of, yes, the group work together more instead of having this like overarching enemy that they wouldn't know who it is.
Yeah, same. Okay, so talking about monsters, the garden. This is the first time we see the garden, and I'm pretty sure everyone was surprised on how the garden looked and how it turned out. It's very bare. There's these monoliths and doorways that we don't know what they mean. We don't know where these doorways go. And I was very interested to see. And I've seen on TikTok recently this thing about stairs in forests, like just like stairways to nowhere. And and this, they're like, it supposedly leads to hell. So I'm like, is this like not truly heaven? Like, is this not the Garden of Eden that we thought it was? Because spoiler alert, I know we're talking about episode one, but Eve shows up and this seems like a very demonic Eve. So I'm assuming like this isn't,
I feel like it could also be the fact that it's a garden sort of surrounded, that has built itself around Waverly instead of it being the default Garden of Eden that we all know from the Bible. It could be because she went through the door that it sort of materialized into a clean slate, in a sense, like tabula rasa, like nothing's there except for a throne, and that's all she knows. She only knows that she has to sit on the throne, and that's her destiny, in a sense. But also, like, and also the fact that when she was there, she was forgetting Nicole and Winona.
Yeah.
So in a sense, it's sort of Waverly reborn.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the change in season four for Waverly is like she's having to vacillate between like herself before the garden and this kind of new thing that's taking over, and she's forgetting things, and she's having this need to fill in this role that her father is no longer there for. Julian's no longer there to sit on his throne. And you see the scene between her and Doc in front of the throne. She's like, this is my father's throne. And then she goes, wait, why would I say that? Like, it's kind of just this push and kind of more subconscious thought that just happens when she enters the garden.
And also the fact when she applies her blood to like the machine,
it changes
with like her sort of, and then obviously when she does it, Nicole shows up. Well, Eve in Nicole's form, because that's what the garden is reading. Her greatest love is being transformed into this demonic sort of thing. And I think it's sort of like Waverly's worst fear.
Yeah.
In a sense, like losing the one that she loves the most. Not saying that she doesn't love Winona, but like, it didn't take the form of Winona, so like
it takes the form of Winona. Oh, sorry, Zabel,
just sorry, it's just my grandma.
That's okay. No, and it's interesting because Eve then changes into Winona when she comes across Doc. Yeah. And so I'm like, they're playing into something here. But going off of what you said with the garden kind of built itself around Waverly is when she does pour in her blood, you have things starting to grow. You have these like cherry blossom trees and these lily pads in the water of whatever cave den thing that is. And also the black badge guy that's in there.
Yeah.
Who's been in there, and he calls it a prison.
Mm.
Which even more points to the fact that like, what is this place like?
Yeah. Obviously it was prison for Eve.
Yeah, and obviously for him, because he's been there first. Like, we don't know how long. I'm assuming it's a long time because he seems a little crazy from no one being around.
Mm. So, and the fact that time works differently in reality to the garden as well. So he could have been there for a week, but in reality, he could have been away for years.
Yeah, because Black Badge was... We know Black Badge was studying this garden, and when Nicole and Winona get to the Black Badge site in Monument, everyone's, I don't want to say they're dead, but they're zombies because something happened and they gassed the whole Black Badge, gassed the building, and they're all kind of dead or they're zombies. So you really wonder, like, how long has it been for that building and, like, what's been going on?
Mm.
Okay, let's see. All right, and then we cut to Winona on the side of the road in the truck getting ready to go to Black Badge and Monument, and she's doing these impressions of Doc and Waverly, which I find really funny, like, trying to do stuff, and, like, the way she does Waverly is so, like, high pitched and like and then Nicole shows up and Winona's like, that wasn't me, wait a second, turns, there's Nicole. Nicole's absolutely furious.
Yeah.
And Winona has
a question though, like, because like I know that they were going to the stairs, but Nicole was drugged before she knew Waverly went in. So that's what confused me, that Nicole...
Oh, how did she find out?
How did she find out that Waverly was in the garden?
That's true.
Unless she's some weirdly connected to Waverly in some mystical way.
It's the ring, but she forgot the ring also at the homestead and Winona had to give it back to... Nicole.
I had this theory at the end of season three before I didn't know that we were going to see season four in 2019. I said that like they were connected because Julian healed her. She's intergalactically connected with Waverly, and she knew that she was in there because she felt that.
Yeah, that would have been good. I also wonder if like, I feel like, so they all got drugged. It was Jeremy, Nicole, and Robin. They all three. And so they all got taken somewhere. And so I'm wondering if, while they're being taken, if they were taken together, would Jeremy would have known, just because he kind of knows that where the garden is and that, like, was Jeremy more informed than Nicole for some reason and they just kind of talked it out?
I feel... Because they only, like, Waverly only told Winona that she had to go in the garden.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, Jeremy knows more about stuff that's going on in Black Badge, and he knows Valdez, he knows about the garden already, which is weird that, like, if he knows who Valdez is, so I'm assuming he knows what the garden was. So he knew all this information before he gets to Purgatory, right, in season two. So like, how much did he originally know?
I don't know, because he was in like the demons division. I don't think he was in, because it was a different division for the garden.
Or so did he know Valdez from Dolls?
He probably knew Valdez from Dolls, but I don't think he was filled in on the garden. I think Dolls was.
Dolls probably. Well, Dolls kept all those files.
Yeah.
That had like on Valdez file, it was like guardian question mark. So I'm assuming he knew, but unfortunately.
But he passed before he even found out that Waverly was an angel. So. Yeah.
That would have been interesting. If he stayed for the rest of season three, like, I wonder how it would have went down.
How Bullshaw would have been defeated otherwise if they had an extra.
Okay. So then Winona and Nicole go off to Monument, to the BBD building, and Nicole's like, no lies, and Winona's like, and it's like, I don't have my gun. And she's like, there's so many things that she just didn't fill Nicole in on, and Nicole's like, what the hell, I told you no lies. She's like, I'm sorry.
And I also like the sort of sisterly like conversation they had about the engagement.
Yeah.
And how Nicole, or when I was like, you left this at home, as in like, she's already. She's already projected that Nicole is family, saying it's home or not. She didn't say like, oh, you left this at my house sort of thing. Like, you left it at home, sort of involving Nicole into the family like now, because I feel like after Nedley tells her that maybe Waverly made a proposition to Nicole, that Winona had like, it clicks that like,
I was rewatching that, and like when they were talking about it and just kind of like the looks that Nicole and Winona were giving to each other was like, you know what I'm gonna say, I'm not gonna tell you first, but you know, like, come on. And so that's really funny. And then because Winona asks, because she figures out that when she interrupted them on the porch in the season three finale, she was like, oh, Nicole was smiling, this ring, and Nedley's like, the proposition. And so Winona asks Nicole, like, oh, why didn't you say anything? And she's like, Winona, interrupt this. Like,
yeah.
That line, I was like, thank you for acknowledging how much this actually happens, like,
yeah,
cock blocking every single episode.
And also the fact that, like, Wynonna wanted to know the answer, and Nicole's like, no, you're not finding out before Waverly. Like,
yeah, of course. No. Yeah, that's, it's special between them.
Yeah.
Oh, and then the fact that, like, earlier, Wynonna had called her daddy, and Nicole's like, what? Mm. No. And then Nicole calls herself daddy, and she's like, oh, I kind of like that. I was like, oh, does that make the 402 stair scene completely different?
Well, I feel, no.
What's the conversations? Were they talking during it or not?
I don't think so. I think the 402 scene was very much a reconnection.
Obviously. I mean, just them, like, running up to each other in front of the house. Oh. I was like,
I was.
Did I cry? Absolutely.
I think a lot of people, like, when I was watching, like, reactions, because I somehow figured out or heard or something, some secret business that had been a time jump between 401 and 402. Like, I knew something was going to do it.
Well, I feel like you could tell, like, the way, like, Nicole was acting, like, she literally was immediately grabbing her shotgun and was like, who is it? So I was like, something has gone on that we don't exactly know about.
I think it was something, because I knew about Nicole's long hair.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I watched 401, I was like, what?
I didn't realize it was a wig, though.
Oh,
I didn't realize that until, like, a few weeks ago. And I was watching behind the scenes. I was like, that's not her hair. That's not her hair.
Freaked the Phantom out, like, when they were filming.
Oh.
Like, it was the first day back, and I was like,
that's no.
It was funny because, like, Tim had taken a photo in, like, the dressing room, like, where they get their hair and makeup done. And then I'd spotted a red wig on the shelf. I'm like, oh, haha, look, it's Nicole's wig. And then everyone's like,
No.
I was thinking realistically, like, oh, maybe Kat doesn't want to dye her hair this year because, like, it destroys your, like, hair cells and everything. And then she was getting it dyed, and I was like, okay, maybe it's someone else's wig, or, like, a stunt double wig.
Danny's wig.
And then she also confirmed that they were stunt double wigs. I'm like, okay, maybe she is cutting her hair. And then she didn't. So I was like, used for something. And then I knew that she was having long hair for the rest of the season. Like, oh, there must be a time jump between either 312 and 401, or 401 in another episode.
And I didn't honestly, like, think about it. Like, I was watching it, and I didn't think about it because I was like, oh, well, episode 1 and 312 were so close together. Of course, her hair's not going to be long yet. And I just, my thought was like, oh, they filmed right after they ended season 3. And I was like, how would that happen?
Sorry, my mom just.
Oh, my mom would do that too, except I told her what I was doing, so. No,
my parents don't know how to knock.
I was thinking, like, they just immediately filmed parts of 401 after, so they didn't have to, like, so she didn't have to cut her hair. And I was like, how would they do that? They went on break for like a year and a half. And then I started to make the connections, and I was watching behind the scenes stuff. I was like, that's not Kat's hair. One, it's
I also figured out, because I gave her a beanie to cover the wig.
Exactly, that too. Like, that's why I was more, like, this is
than it was.
It was very interesting when I figured that out, and I was like, I feel completely stupid at this point. Like, there's Erpers who, like, do all these deep dives and make all these connections, and I figured out it was a wig.
I think I read into that, like, because I come up on my Twitter feed, and I was like, I was reading all about, like, the theories and everything, and I was like, well, maybe there is a time jump very early on, because I had a feeling it was either 1 to episode 3, like, because I knew that episode 3 seemed different.
Yeah.
But I was like, I feel like that seems like a time jump, because Waverly obviously was in the trailer, and she was also in other clothes than her angel
clothes. Yeah, which that kind of clued you in that, for me, it clued me in that Waverly wasn't going to be in the garden as long as I thought they were going to do it. I thought she was going to spend more time.
I thought they were going to keep her in the garden for, like, 3 episodes.
So did I. I was like,
Yeah, I was ready.
I thought they were gonna build off something here, but I think they're gonna build off of it later.
Yeah,
in the back half. Okay, so
I kind of wanted like Waverly and Doc not to show up in episode one. Like, really? I wanted them
the mystery.
The mystery.
They didn't actually show up until like 30 minutes into the episode.
Yeah, I just wanted them not to be in it. I was like, my theorizing was like either like she breaks out at the end of episode one, or she like she's in there for three episodes and then they have to get her on episode four.
And what interests me about the garden, going back to that, is when we first see Waverly, she's chained up against a monolith thing. Mm. And I'm like, how did she get there? Because we get Doc walking in. So like how long, because the time difference in the garden is weird. So how long was it between when Waverly got there and when Doc got there? Because for us, it was just like a few seconds. Waverly goes in, Doc walks up the stairs after he saves Winona, and he goes in. But Waverly's chained up, and I'm assuming the chains have to do with the vine that was taking Waverly in.
Yeah, I thought that too. I was like, well, she was pulled in by the vines, which then turned into chains.
Yeah, which were attached to some rock ball thing that was in a well. And Doc's like, oh, well, really?
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
I did like it in episode two how he landed right next to the well and not in it.
Yeah. He's like, oh, yes, I did it.
Like, they all landed in places where they were familiar with. So, obviously, Doc landed his well, like, where he started.
Yeah.
Then Winona was near the stairs or where they were. Then they and then Waverly was, like, right near the homestead, because her connection to Nicole had brought her there.
There's something there.
There's some mystical aroma around those two characters that I would love for them to delve into, but if they never did, maybe someone make a fanfic.
And I want to dive into more of Nicole's connection to Purgatory, because on Twitter, the Purgatory archaeologist girl on there, I was going through the Twitter thread of like the hotline that was in Arizona and Tombstone. I was like, they need to do more of this. I've been dying for this for like three seasons and I'm still waiting.
And so also the fact that the Hots and the Clantons never got along, because the Clantons stole from the Hots.
Mm-hmm. And that, like, the Hots, maybe there's this thing where they maybe met Wyatt and Virgil Earp. Like, they kind of passed by the Hot Ranch. I was like, do something. Mm. Do some flashbacks even. I don't care. I need something. Because I love going into those flashbacks. Remember in season one when they did those Wyatt flashbacks? I was hoping for more of those.
And even like Winona going back in time.
Oh, like season two?
Yeah, I would love for Nicole or even
to
like
do that also.
To go back in time.
That'd be a good episode. Okay, so back to Monument in the BBD building. Another thing is Winona and Nicole are best friends now. It's said. And
It's canon, they're besties.
Yeah, like that made my heart drop. Like Nicole said, like, my best friend something something, and Winona's like, I never had a best friend. I was like, oh, Winona. So hard.
And also, like, it made my heart blossom because they always written as best friends in like high school fics.
Yeah.
And like Nicole's too scared to fall in love with like Winona's little sister, and the fact that now it's canon as best friends, I'm looking forward to their like continue. Like, obviously, we got more of their dynamic, especially in 403 and stuff. So,
Triple question for the Way Hot wedding, would Winona be Waverly's maid of honor or Nicole's? I'm leaning.
Because Jeremy would be Waverly's. Because he asked. Oh,
the Bay of Honor thing.
The Bay of Honor,
got it. Yeah, that makes sense. I was like, you know what? Winona's just going to stand in the middle. Like, somebody else is going to officiate. Winona will just stand in the middle. She will be the flower girl, the ring bearer. She'll just do every single role possible. She's like, this is my wedding now.
Oh, the ring bearer. I feel like the ring bearer would be Doc.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like Nedley is going to officiate.
Yeah, he's going to walk.
Pull down, and then he's also going to officiate.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be funny, like, if he was talking to himself, because the officiate will like ask like the father, whoever is walking the bride down the aisle, like, do you give this girl away to whoever they're marrying? And like him talking to himself would be really funny, where or like he switches roles, so he stands back and forth, so he's like this the whole time, and he's like, yeah, I do. And they're like, okay, like doing that back and forth. I need this to be a comedic wedding, because I'm gonna cry.
A very beautiful wedding, but it's gonna have like really good comedic timing.
Oh, yeah.
Like maybe Nedley saying, for the people who don't agree with this, please like come forward, and then Wynonna would be like, ah, and then Nicole would be like, no, like don't.
No, Wynonna would do that. What, you just see like Wynonna like skip into a seat in like the seating area and just sit there like in the very back row, just like, yeah, me.
Yeah, that's
me. My best friend. You can't marry my best friend.
Yeah. It's funny because I do like, oh, it's more episode two stuff, but I do like when in the monument, like establishment, how Wynonna comes in with Valdez or with Rachel through like obviously almost suffocating because she had no air. And she's like, I'm sick and tired of listening to like that premarital hot, like,
yeah.
Oh, that's thick walls in the house. I was like, oh.
She's like you can hear.
We heard it once, but we don't know how many times.
Yeah.
We
heard
it.
That's really funny. Okay, so talking about Rachel, we have the Valdez reveal. Did you think Rachel was going to be a teenager?
No. When we got note about Valdez, I literally binged the comics to understand more about her character.
I just looked it up. I was like, I need to know who this is. I need some sort of background information. I like a wiki all about Valdez. I was like, oh, this is going to be so interesting. I'm like, it's a girl that's my age. How does this Mayan warrior thing work now?
It felt nice to have a young character.
I like
because
it.
we rely, especially the young audience, rely on Waverly, because to us she's the youngest character.
I was like, Waverly and Jeremy, not that Jeremy's, he just felt younger in the way that he acted.
Yeah.
Like him and Waverly were kind of like the youngest of them, so I was like, that's my closest thing. And now I have a girl that's my age who is completely sassy, which I had that. I was like, this is great. She fits right in, but it's like for the younger audience. And I love the dynamic between, because Rachel has different, obviously, dynamics between each character.
Yeah.
And between her and Wynonna, I like the best because it's the funniest.
Mm.
And I feel like in some way, they're very similar.
Oh, definitely. She's definitely Wynonna's reckless side. Her teenage.
I feel like this was like Wynonna when she was younger, like during like high school, during her high school years, that we don't hear about very much with Wynonna. We haven't heard about it in a while, which I'm very interested in. I feel like this is kind of teeing into that.
That's why I feel like Nicole can connect with her easier because she knows that reckless side of Wynonna. Like Waverly knows it.
And she knows how to control it.
Yeah, Wynonna doesn't really act that reckless around Waverly. That's why I feel like Waverly, and also the fact that she wasn't there for the 18 months when Rachel and Nicole were together, that she was going to have to develop to this relationship with this younger person.
Yeah. Let's see what else I wrote. Okay, so going back to the angel blood, because that happened a little bit later in the episode, and the books.
Oh my God, I'm still...
That whole was books.
I think she chose either Nicole's or Waverly Gibson.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they put the Gibson, though. I noticed that, and I was like, that, what are, like, it goes back to the thing where, like, Waverly is not really an Arab, which I hate that idea. Like, please get rid of that. And so I'm wondering what is in these books that, like, is it a history thing? Is it, like, their connections to something, like what is this saying? Especially because they're like, would the books be different for a different person? Like if Wynonna were in there, would she have like she might not have a different selection because they all have the same kind of group of people, but like if it were somebody else, could the books also be different?
I don't know. I feel like she chose her own book because Oh, I don't, it's just. Oh.
It's hard because the Gibson thing really throws me off, where I feel like that would pique her curiosity the most and to be like, what does this mean? Mm. So I feel like she chose herself. And I know Doc knows too, because in 402, he picks the book out of the bag because he has it. So I know.
But there's no, it doesn't say anything on it.
Oh, it doesn't say anything?
No, it's a blank red book.
That's really interesting.
Like, he's like, I have Waverly, I have your book in your satchel.
I didn't realize that. See, that just makes it more like, what's in these books? And they're probably going to play into that too. At least I hope so. And also
the fact that if it being blank, it faded away, like the title, like the name faded away because it came with the world that they went back to.
So would it be blank for Waverly too? Or would Waverly be the only one who'd be able to read it because she's the guardian that's supposed to be in the garden?
Well, I think she was reading it in the garden.
She might have. Once again, my memory. Yeah,
it was the beginning of 402 before she'd seen.
Okay.
But then I also thought it was Nicole's book she picked up, because it was Nicole that came as Eve.
She picked the book before Nicole came, though.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, because we don't know enough about Nicole, and I don't know how much. You're frozen, so I'm just going to stop talking for a second. Oh. Okay, you're good.
Am I moving?
I don't know how much Nicole has told Waverly about her and her past. I'm hoping they have this communication and they've talked about it, but for some reason in the back of my head, I'm like, maybe not. So if she chose Nicole's, it would be because, like, I want to learn more about Nicole.
And we kind of do, in a sense, because when they come back to Purgatory, it's Nicole that got them out of the garden. Mm-hmm. It's Nicole that lost her job. It's Nicole that got possessed. So I feel like either she's in the firing range of everything that's happening, or she chose Waverly's, chose her own book in the sense of, this was the world if the Earps weren't there. Because it obviously said Gibson as the last name.
Yeah, like it would be like a, what is it, 211 or something, when it's like Winona doesn't exist. It's like that situation.
Yeah, in a sense it is, like, because they were stuck in the garden and Nicole had to fend for herself.
Yeah. Okay, books. Going back to Monument, the whole zombie fighting scene, I never watched The Walking Dead, but like that was the vibe it gave off, except these zombies could run.
It gave me very much like Call of Duty Black Ops vibes, plus like obviously The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
But I did like, because we haven't seen zombies in Winona yet, that we got to see another sort of classic.
Yeah. I'm going, like, where's this monster of the week thing? I want to get into these classic monsters. Yeah. Like, bring in werewolves.
Yeah. We've had vampires, we've had witches, and now we've had zombies. Like, I do like the fact that they do like to throw in the sort of like classic monster.
Yeah. And then this kind of thing. Okay. What was interesting is in the end, Winona ends up standing on a grate, which Rachel was like, don't stand on a grate. And they're like, why? And she doesn't explain why. So Winona ends up on a grate and she's accepting her death, which really it bothers me, but I understand it. Because Winona had so much going for her, and she's like, I need to get Waverly out, blah, 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 blah. And then she's like, she puts this trust in Nicole to be like, you get Waverly out. And Nicole's like, it's not me. Why would it be me? You're the special supernatural air person. You do it, pushes her off, and then falls through the grate herself. And I'm like, obviously Nicole's not going to die. Like, we all know, but we're like, what happened? And then it cuts to Eve, who looks like Nicole, in the garden. So I was like, my immediate thought was, that's Nicole. Like, through the grates in the basement are the doorways to the garden, because that's what they've been searching for.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was my immediate thought, was that was the garden. But the way that she said hi to Doc when he came down, I was like, that didn't seem like how Nicole would react if she had just fallen through. I feel like she'd be a little bit more confused, instead of so like happy like Eve was in the garden.
Also the fact that she said hi and not like Doc, like,
yeah, she didn't question it. She was just like, I'm here finally. So that was my first throw off. So where I wasn't exactly sure, but I was still hanging on to like, it could be Nicole.
I was really confused. I think it was at the beginning of 402. I was like, nah, this is Nicole. She just grew some hair. That's fine. It's Nicole. Yeah. She's just growing some hair.
What was funny is it's in the braid from season one.
Yeah, I was like, 402 started off and I was like, okay, this seems a little bit, it doesn't seem like Nicole, but it could be Nicole. But then I was also like, it's not Nicole, because I saw the promo pics of Nicole like on the ground, almost dead.
Yeah.
So I was like, it's not Nicole, but it is Nicole. And then she started acting so much like Nicole. And I was like, is it really Nicole? And then Waverly came down and then I was like, eh. And then when Waverly started talking about Doc and his thirst, she changed. And I was like, that's not Nicole.
Yeah.
I was questioning it. I was like,
because you never know, because the writers and Emily will always flip a switch on you and you won't know. And I listened to Tales of the Black Badge because they just did an interview with Kat.
I haven't listened to it yet. Oh, I listened to
the one, it's with so good. Mom. Everybody's talking about it being a therapy session. I was like, it's a therapy session for Kat, not for us. It's for her. She just rants and rambles most of the time. It's so funny. And I loved it so much.
But the Dom one was hilarious.
Hmm?
The Dom one was hilarious.
Love all the ones with Dom are so funny. And it's so pleasing. I just sit there and I'm just like, I just listen. I just lay in my bed and I just listen. It's so something. But Kat, they were talking with Kat about the switches between Eve and Nicole and how it kind of switched at certain parts where she kind of played into both. And I don't want to spoil it, but they did takes where it was just Nicole and it was just Eve. And Paolo, the director, kind of told Kat, like, we're going to switch them off and how they're going to do that. And I thought that was so interesting, like, how they worked this out to play in this character and the thought that went into, like, Eve itself and the character was super interesting. Yeah, Kat goes on more about it.
It just sort of be she had to be Eve, but she had to be like Nicole Eve, and then
because she's trying to be like Nicole, so she wanted to bring that sense to it, but like it can't be Nicole because she doesn't know Nicole enough.
Yeah, like it's like if she were to read the script for like 102 blank again, like if she don't know everything of what happened and then she was back in like her first episode, like I feel like going back into like that mindset, like it's difficult, but she did it like superbly, and like that is why Bravo Burrell happened.
I mean, that's when it first started, was like that, and it just went on for the rest of the episodes. I was like, that this whole first half of season four was so much Nicole that we haven't gotten before. I think the most that we've gotten with Nicole was like either her and Nedley stuff with her in the police department, or her like almost dying, which is really sad. And it's also happened again that she almost died. I was like, why do you keep this going, guys? I know it's drama, but I don't like it.
I understand why they did it, and the fact that they broke the fourth wall to have like Jeremy ask that it's gonna be okay. And I picked up on that like literally the minute it happened, because I was like,
so did I.
And even in like theater, you break the fourth wall if you want to talk to the audience.
Yeah.
And I loved it that they're like, oh, it's gonna be okay. I'm like, I knew it was gonna be okay.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I know there were a lot of people who were panicking, like, is Kat gonna be in 4B? Is she gonna be in the show anymore? And then I'm like sitting there like,
they literally said it to us.
Yeah, and I was like, they're like, oh, I got questions, like on Instagram, and says, oh, do you think she's leaving? And I'm like, no, because they're actually currently filming this.
Yeah, like they're doing that right now.
And then they're like, oh, how do you know this? Like, because of the interview she just did. And then she's saying,
guys, think about it.
Dom, and like they're still together. And I was not worried in the slightest.
I was scared
that she was going to lose her memory.
I was like, something's gonna happen. I was worried something was gonna happen to Nicole. Obviously, Nicole was still gonna be there, but like, how is this going to change her? And luckily it didn't, unless it did. I don't know. She became a ghost thing. Yeah. So I don't know if that had any effect, but that was really interesting. Do you just want to go into 402? I mean, we've talked about 402.
Yeah, I don't mind. We can go into that theme. That's fine.
Let's keep this going. My most viewed and liked TikTok is that one I did of the stair scene. When I first started, I did that and I was like,
I was too scared to put that anywhere in case I got flagged on any social media platform. Like, I cannot, like,
I was I've like, come so far. This is early. Nobody knows who I am. We're going for it. And now
the first thing I saw of yours was that scene. Like, I just kept seeing it. And I was like, guys, I understand that you enjoy it, but this is all I'm seeing on my feed.
That's really funny. Sorry, I'm checking I want to see where it's at right now. Because I get surprised every time I go back and I check where it's at, and it surprises me. It's at 115K, almost 116.
Holy shit.
Yeah, and I kept like telling my mom when it was happening, it was like, it has 3,000 views at one point. And my mom was like, wow, because she like doesn't know anything. And I was like, oh my God. And I kept updating her, and I was really surprised. And then my sister watches, she doesn't watch the show, and she has no idea what I do, what this show is about. And so she sees this stuff like, what is this? And I was like, because I was watching the episode, she walked in on me during that scene. I was like, I mean, my sister's gay too, so she didn't have a problem with it. But it was really awkward. I had to pause it. I was like, yes. And she looked at the TV and she was like, I was like, sorry.
It was funny because because I was at school the day. It was before we went back into lockdown and had to learn from home. So my mum was picking me up because it was a really hot, like, I don't know, my mum was, no, I had to bring all my books home because, like, we didn't know if we were going back into lockdown or not. So I got my mum to pick me up. I literally lived down the street from school, but I'm that much of a wuss that I just wanted to get driven home. And I was like, oh yeah, Winona tonight. And then my mum's like, oh, I have like a class to do in the lounge room. You can use the TV for an hour. And I was the episode's like 45 minutes. I don't know if that's going to work out. So I was like, oh, it's fine. I'll just watch it in my room. Thank God I did. Oh my God. My mum's like, oh, you can watch it on the TV. I'm like, I'm in my bedroom. And my mum's like, oh, do you want to watch it again on the TV? And I was like,
No,
I'm good. And my sister comes down the hall because she like knows about it, because she's watched 1 to 3. I don't know if she caught up on 4 or anything. She doesn't really watch the show anymore. But she comes down the hall and she goes, "Way Hot had sex." And I'm like, shut up.
Please be quiet. Don't talk about it. Don't talk about it.
Stop.
Oh my God. That whole episode, that's like, that and 406 are like my favorite episodes so far. And it's not because of the stair scene. Like, there's so much that went on in 402. Like, anyway, we'll start from the beginning, kind of the beginning. I don't know where it originally started off. Winona and Rachel find Nicole in this basement thing next to the doorway with Gloria Valdez, who the original person they were searching for is dead at the computer by the doorway. And was it hypoxia or something? Winona had, she wasn't getting enough oxygen, so she's kind of going delirious. Really funny. She's, what did Nicole say? They were talking about something with ass. She's like, I give an ass and a half. I was like, this is drunk Winona that we haven't seen.
Yeah.
Like, we've seen drunk Nicole. We have not seen drunk Winona. And this is like the closest we've gotten so far.
Yeah.
And Rachel's just like, you know what? I can't do anything about this.
She's like, who are you? Like,
I don't know this. I just met this person and she's already drunk. Come on.
On not having any oxygen.
Yeah.
It was funny. It was like, and then it's like, Nicole's like, you're my ass. And then Wyatt's like, that's pretty lesbian of you. Like,
so funny. Yeah. And so they open up the doorway portal thingy. Winona jumps through, but when she jumps through, she literally just like Supermans it in there. She doesn't like walk through like you think a person would do. No, she jumps and she lands in the snow of the Garden of Eden and just penguin slides in there.
Yeah.
And then that's she's funny. Like,
I love
what the fuck?
That was funny, yeah.
And that's when, at this point, I think Eve had gotten out, they had gotten Eve out of her little chamber magical thingy from something. And of course, Nicole was naked. We all remember Kat. And it was interesting when Kat would talk about that, is she had, she was more vulnerable being naked in that scene than the stair scene.
I think because that scene was not a closed set, whereas the stair scene was a closed set with like a few people. Like there was like a camera guy, a sound guy,
and it
the
director, and Dominic. And she was talking about, it wasn't because she would naked. She doesn't mind that part. It was because she didn't know the character of Eve. And so that would kind of throw her off. And then being naked, she doesn't have like the tools that she uses with her hands, like no pockets, nothing to lean on. So she's like, I don't know what to do. And so that was interesting in like how people play roles and how they act with like other parts of their body to make them comfortable, where that just flew out the window. Mm. And she ends up having, what she puts like the tree, like sticks and leaves and stuff from the tree that she's with and everything. I was like, that's great. You could leave her like that. I'm good with it. You could leave her there. And then she ends up getting the coat from Doc.
Yeah.
And so they get out. And so when Wynonna comes in, Doc had already fought Eve in Wynonna form.
Yeah.
Also in Jeremy form, I think.
Yeah.
At some point he switched to Jeremy. And the layering of the voices that they did with
they all had Wynonna and Jeremy. Like, Kat did it, and then like Melanie had to copy Kat's, and then
I thought it was the other way around. Because I remember Kat talking about, like, I had to match Melanie.
Oh, you had to match her scream, because it was Melanie physically there, but then Kat
had to ADR it.
Yeah.
And I was like, that, like, you think like everybody has these weird strong points in certain areas where like Melanie gives off so much energy with whatever she's doing, where it's like I understand it would be hard to match that, because there's such a different energy about Melanie and how hard she goes with everything that like it really pushes kind of the character and Wynonna in the show and the whole thing, like anyways, so Doc and Wynonna, I'm thinking of what I was gonna say. They find each other, and Wynonna's like, it's me, Doc, because they're fighting, and Doc's like, no, it's not, you're still Eve, blah, 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 and they're fighting, and they fall on the floor, and Doc's about to just slam her and punch her, and she screams Dollywood.
Yeah,
their safe word. I was like, Dollywood? You guys live in, like, Canada. Dollywood's in Tennessee. I was like,
well, Doc originally was from...
That's true.
Yeah, from Tombstone, so, which is in America, where Purgatory is not.
I was like, what, do they just, like Dolly Parton that much? I mean, like, don't we all? I was like, this is
Dolly Parton is iconic. I loved all the shout-outs to the other shows in that episode as well.
The Sarah Lance?
Yes!
That one killed me. I was like, They know. I'm freaking out at this point, because that's my other favorite show.
And then I was also like, does this mean Wynonna's in our universe?
Yeah. Do they watch all these Arrowverse shows? Like, what else is on TV? Yeah. Is the CW, like a channel there? Like, have they watched The 100?
Yeah.
Are they going to cosplay as Clark and Lexa at some point? Can they do that?
Has Nicole learnt from Lexa, maybe not to die, you know?
Yeah, she's like, you know what, Lexa got shot, I'm not doing that either, that's not happening for me.
I think why she wore the bulletproof vest. She's like, I've learned.
She was like, it's standard code. I was like, no, you got that from TV.
I did like the fact that, but then I was like, if Wynonna is in our universe, then is this just like a whole reality television show for them?
It's like The Office. Like, they're just gonna start filming it like The Office. That'd be really funny.
Oh my god, they're speaking to the camera. Oh my god, today.
No, like Wynonna would be saying some bullshit and Nicole just like turns the camera like, wow, really? Like, I feel like Nicole is such like a gym kind of person. That'd be really funny. They should do an episode like that.
They should. Like that would be so funny. Yes. A sitcom version, or even even a sitcom version of Wynonna, but have a live audience and stuff. That'd be so funny.
All right, let's see. Okay, and then going back to Wynonna in the garden, the scenes between Wynonna and Waverly, like at the throne, where Waverly has really gotten into that state where like she's assumed the throne and gone into the state like I'm supposed to be here, where we kind of got a glimpse in episode one, but now she's fully in it because she's sat in the throne and it's kind of taken over her mind.
She can't get off the throne. She's stuck there when she sits.
Yeah. And does
that brings her off is the ring that she gave to Nicole.
Another connection between her and Nicole. There's something there.
Some weird intergalactic connection. Like, honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if they were connected by, like, an internal string.
Yeah, it's been there all along. Like, when Nicole got into the bar in 102, Waverly's like, I know this person somehow. Like, you get that vibe. She's so comfortable. Like, it's a little scary because she obviously doesn't know who it is, but, like, there's that comfortableness in the scene where, like, you could tell right away. And everybody who watched it originally also knew. So that's what,
She felt comfortable. And, like, Nicole, even though the establishment was closed, Nicole played it off as if she didn't know.
Yeah.
Like, actually, she knew. But something was drawing her to go inside.
Well, because, like, she says, like, I've been meaning to meet you or something like that.
Yeah. And so I'm like, she knows the name and stuff. Yeah.
Why is she drawn towards Waverly? Like, why did she want to meet Waverly? What about her? What did you know that, like, made you go into Shorty's when it was, what time? It was the morning. It's not even open. And, like, do they serve coffee there? It's a bar.
I read this amazing fic. It was, like, way hot as kids, but it was Nicole after the massacre, and that she'd met Waverly as a young girl, like at the police station or something, because she maybe was there with Ward. I can't remember completely, but they'd met as kids and then they separated and then they came back together when they met again on the show. And I was there maybe a connection like that, like maybe baby Nicole, because she was at the police station with Nedley.
And I mean, Ward worked.
Or saw Ward. Waverly. Maybe Waverly.
Because Ward, their father, if you don't remember his name, I don't know why I remember that.
I remember Ward.
He was the sheriff, wasn't he?
He was the sheriff.
So it would make sense for them to be around the police department precinct, wherever they were. It would make sense that they would spend time there. So for them to meet,
Waverly would have been like Nicole was like 6, so Waverly would have been about 1.
Is it 3 years between them?
It's 5.
It's 4. I didn't know the age gap.
No, it's 5. So
Nicole could have seen her. See,
in a pram or something. Maybe Michelle was visiting and
it'd have been like Wynonna like holding Waverly. Or even
holding her. Like I think the Wynonna was 12 when Waverly was 5. So they're about 60. So Wynonna and Nicole are very close in age.
Yeah.
Like I think they're like a year apart. Okay. So maybe baby Wynonna was like holding baby Waverly and then baby Nicole was there. That
makes so much sense.
And then like baby Nicole walks up to baby Wynonna and is like, oh, nice to meet you, blah, 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 blah. And then touches Waverly and then this connection starts or something.
It's imprinting. That's the word.
Imprinting, literally, like freaking Twilight.
I feel like Waverly would, because Waverly's the one who has the powers because she's into, she would imprint on Nicole.
Maybe Waverly, because she saw this other girl or something, reached out and like touched her or something, and then that imprinted something that stayed with them.
This is some Twilight crap now.
I hate Twilight with a passion.
Oh, God. I can't stop watching those movies. I know they're bad, but there's something about them.
The love story is just weird.
It's weird.
I don't like the vampire mythology of it. I just don't, because I watched other vampire shows that had better vampire mythology. Yeah. So I was like, don't really enjoy Twilight.
Yeah. Okay, where are we? Wynonna and Waverly at the throne, the ring is what gets Waverly to come off, and the thought of Nicole and stuff like that. And then they are looking for the doorway, Doc, Winona, and Waverly, and this one just opens up. And we now know why it opened up, but it was very interesting that, like it was kind of behind them. So at that point, you wondered, like, how did it just open on command? Like, what is this? Is something else happening? And so they all go through, and like you were mentioning earlier, they all kind of land in spots that they're connected to.
Yeah.
For some reason. We see Doc at the well with the book that Waverly chose. That's a blank that I didn't realize. And then Winona is where the stairs were, because they're not there anymore. And Waverly is somewhere in the forest closer to the homestead, because she's able to run over there real quick and go see Nicole. And we're going to get into the stair scene now, because that's where we're at at this point.
Oh, God, let's do it. Okay.
I don't know the big deal about the stair scene. I don't get it.
What's the big deal?
It's just like, stairs.
Up to me, and I'm like, I get it, guys. Like, I full-on analyzed that scene. Like, it was, I went on Tumblr, and I analyzed it. And it I was like, I don't know what I was doing that night, but I was just so, you know, I just analyzed the scene.
So, no, so their first, like, run-in, like, obviously Nicole, because of the time jump that hasn't been revealed at this point, Nicole's a little apprehensive. There's been stuff going on, so she thinks it's some, either she thinks it's somebody she doesn't know or it's a monster of some sort.
Yeah.
And so she immediately grabs her shotgun, rocks outside, starts shooting, and Waverly slips. And I think that was just dumb because it was snowing. Oh, no,
it was. She slips, like, throughout
the time. Thing. I've seen, like, there's the compilations of how many times she's just, like, almost fell. So funny. So she slips, and she's like, no, it's me. And Nicole's like, Waverly? And so they run up, they hug each other. Sweet. I love those moments, like, the slow run up, except it wasn't really slow. They were just cutting it back and forth, kind of. And they hug each other. And then there's no cut of them walking inside. And so it's just straight to sex, which is great. I think most people would, with how long it's been and whatever they've been through, would do the same. Not going to lie. But what was the interesting part, as I was watching, because there's always this debate between couples, like, who's the top, who's the bottom? And so we've always been wondering, because, like, in regular life, Nicole, as an authoritative figure in general, seems like she would be the top. But when she's with Waverly, complete bottom.
Yeah.
But as I'm noticing through the scene, is they switch.
A lot.
A lot. And it was really interesting, because, like, Nicole's the one pinning her against the wall. Not that she was directly pinning her. It was just Waverly's back was to the wall, and Nicole's on top. When they're on the floor, Waverly's on top. And then they cut to the stairs, and I think they both were on top on the stairs, if I remember correctly. I know Nicole was more, is what I remember.
Nicole was positioned on top. Waverly was sitting down, but it didn't, like, in moments, they'd switched.
Yeah. So I just, I want to say it put the debate to rest, because I honestly hate those debates. Like, why does it matter? But I really feel like,
I think we came to a conclusion as a fandom that they're both switches.
Yeah, I would agree. And I honestly think most people are.
Yeah. Because it's depending who you're with. It should always depend on who you're with. Not
exactly.
Like, one person.
So I think that kind of put it to rest. And we talked a little bit about, because I remember watching the TikTok of that person who has analyzed the Wayhot relationship. And I remember her talking about kind of that when she was analyzing this is the relationship in general and how kind of submissive Nicole can be and Waverly's more dominant. So I think she touched on that scene a little bit, but that's what was in my mind watching that video. So I really liked how they decided, and that Kat and Dom, obviously they talked about it and they discussed what they were going to do. And so I'm glad that they had both characters taking leads at some point, because I truly think at certain points in their relationship in general, that's kind of how it is. And that's, I think, how it should be in a good relationship. because one person should never be more dominant. That's just how I think it should be. I mean, mm-hmm. other people might have different opinions, but so yeah. And then, so they do all that stuff. And then I remember Waverly talked about Nicole's hair. And she's like, did you get extensions or like Little Mermaid vibes or something? Like, I was like, oh my gosh, she doesn't know. Cause at that point I realized like, it's been such a long time because her hair has grown out so much.
Yeah.
That's where I kind of started to think like, oh, it's been a really long time because it takes a while for hair to grow out that long. Cause I had my hair cut that short and it's been a year to get it where it's at now.
Yeah.
So that made sense. That's where it started to make sense in my head. But before the time jump is said, it cuts to Doc and Wynonna meeting up in front of Shorty's.
Yeah. Which
is a weird place. I feel like, I feel like they would also choose to go back to the homestead because that's where, like, safety is for them.
Yeah.
They chose Shorty's just in the middle of the street, and I'm not sure why, unless, like, one person was heading back, depending on where they were, was heading back to the homestead and the other was just going wherever. I don't know. Maybe Doc was going to go get a beer or something. I feel like he would do that.
I feel like, and also Shorty's is also sort of their clubhouse in a sense. Apart from the homestead, they've got like this other part of the town where they can sort of have a meeting because Doc owns Shorty's. So he was kind of going back to where he stays. And then I think Wynonna was walking back to the homestead, but then she realized when she met up with Doc, and Doc's like, where do you think Waverly is? And I think, and one was like, oh, I think I know where we, like, I think we both, yeah,
we know, both know where she went.
Yeah.
I liked that Wynonna is really in tune with their relationship, with Nicole and Waverly's relationship now, where she is, I don't want to say yet because we haven't fully seen it, is to kind of give them their own space, because we know Wynonna interrupts them repeatedly and kind of just, I don't want to say this because I'm not fully sure, but she kind of plays off their relationship to the side, like it's never, their relationship is never fully involved with Wynonna, where at this point I think it's gotten to that point where Wynonna really recognizes what's happening between them and how close they've gotten, especially since she's realized that Waverly proposed to Nicole.
I think now she's realized that it's time to give them space because they're getting to that part in their lives where they're moving on as well. She wants to give them that time, and also the fact that we don't know how long it's been. It could have been a few days, it could have been
and they still don't.
And the fact that she knows how that Waverly was ready for that moment, like that time, like part of her life, that her giving them space to reconnect, it could have been a day, it could have been a week, she wouldn't know. And then to sort of realize that she needed to give them time in case that was the time where Waverly was going to ask again, in a sense.
Yeah, I agree. So while they're in the street and stuff, some stuff is going on. We see people hanging like from a noose. And so you really get like, oh, what's happened now? Like, we've kind of got the clue in something. It's been a little while. And now we realize things have gone completely to shit because this would never happen if there wasn't a time jump. And then it's Chrissy Nedley, right? That's her name. Chrissy Nedley. So Chrissy Nedley, or they walk into the bar, they walk into Shorty's, and then Chrissy Nedley comes out because they realize it's like a juice bar now, which I found totally hilarious. I love that they did that. And then like the puns that were on the menu board.
Oh yes.
The drinks. Yes. That was really funny. So Chrissy comes out and she's like, something, what happened to my father, or your citizen's arrest because you killed my father. And Wynonna obviously knows that she didn't, because she was with Nedley and then had to leave Nedley. So she's like, well, did Nedley die? Because we know something was happening with Nedley when Wynonna left to go to Monument. So we don't know what's happened to Nedley at this point. We kind of think he's dead, but we're not completely sure.
I got really shocked when it's like, you killed my family. The last time we checked, Natalie was just fine with Mercedes. Yeah. Like, we didn't know.
Mercedes. Is he truly fine? Yes. Do we trust Mercedes that much?
We can trust Mercedes, yes. Okay. Mercedes.
Mercedes. I feel like bad Mercedes.
She.
Mercedes knows how to protect herself. She learned to throw a knife.
I know.
Like, and that was almost pretty accurate. Like, not Nicole. Winona, like, was quick to dodge it, yeah. But, like, you almost hit me.
Mm. And the fact that she's undercover at Eamon's bar or Eamon's club to find out more information about, I don't know, more demonic activity or something. And the fact that she's undercover being a vampire is just, I think she's.
I feel like she's grown into the team a little bit more. She's like, okay, I want to do something with them now.
Yeah, it's no longer like the five of, well, now there's seven of them now. Okay, wait. Well, maybe six. Oh no,
Are we counting Robin?
No, it would be seven because Rachel. It's now five girls and no, wait, four girls, three boys. Wait,
are we counting Robin?
Four girls. Sure. Yes, that's seven. Yeah,
six or seven. Yeah, complete ensemble. Again.
Like, Nedley's now being brought into the main group as well, because he was at the engagement party, sort of.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
So Christy Nedley does a citizen's arrest thing, and Winona almost gets hanged. And Doc doesn't do anything. He's just walking besides Winona while she's getting taken.
I don't think he could do anything.
Or he didn't know what to do?
Yeah, I think it's more like he didn't know what to do, and then when it was like, get Nicole and Waverly, and then he's like, okay, yeah, I can do that, yeah.
And then the new sheriff in town.
That I hate with a passion. Oh.
It was really weird, because, like, during episode 6, he had this change of heart, but I was like, no.
I understand that he and Doc tried to come up with this sort of decision, but then you've also got like Cleo, who may not go by that decision.
That's what I'm saying. And he's like, I'll try and get Cleo. Like, I'll talk to Cleo. It's like, you can't control Cleo. Cleo's her own thing. And what happened to Cleo now? We don't know.
And also the fact that even though Holt was doing something good, letting Rachel out of like being kept at the prison or kept at the police station until Doc came, and that Cleo is like, no, we can't let her go, we don't know what she'll do, so I feel like Cleo's more against Winona, so much not so much Waverly and Nicole, but I feel like mostly Winona, whereas Holt's more against Nicole.
And I feel like in some sense this comes from Ma'am Clinton and how much she just despises Doc and the Earps, and Winona's obviously the heir or the leader kind of thing, so she obviously hates her the most. So I think that's gets passed down to her children, except for Billy. Poor Billy, I liked him.
I know, same.
And so Cleo is completely different, and so she's a little bit, where Holt's kind of on the verge, like he really doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's kind of following Ma'am.
I think I was just very much against him taking Nicole's job when she was in such a vulnerable place.
It was just resentment.
Yeah.
And I was like, she says, like, she was trying to protect the homestead. Like, she went back to the homestead to figure things out. And so I wonder if, like, when she first got back from Monument, because she had broken her leg. If that had any effect, it probably did, because she can't go out and do stuff really.
Yeah.
So if she tried to be sheriff,
it would have been so hard for her.
Because nobody's there.
Yeah, because she only had Rachel.
And Rachel may left not, too.
Who may have not even stayed for the whole time. Like, she was alone, and she was bed rest for at least 6 to 7 weeks, and then by the time that happened, maybe everyone started to come back. They elected a new sheriff and stuff. She didn't have the resources nor the support.
Yeah. My so question, you know,
I understand why they elected a new sheriff, but also
it was a coup. Like the Clanton set up a coup, and then Cleo was declared herself magistrate and elected her own sheriff. I think that was how they explained it. But my thing is how long have the Clantons been around in purgatory? Because they pretty much should have been there since the beginning. They just haven't shown themselves.
I think that they didn't show themselves until they knew that the Earps were quote-unquote gone. Because in a sense, the Earps owned everything. They had the lead in the police station because of Nicole. They had Shorty's, which was like the main establishment. And they were honestly running the town.
Yeah.
So, and then having Wynonna and Waverly gone. But the thing is, Ma'am didn't have anything against Waverly. I understand she always gets pulled into things that she doesn't want to be pulled into, but then she always has to fix things. Mm-hmm. But she had nothing against Waverly. Cleo had nothing against Waverly. Holt didn't have anything against Waverly. It was just all Wynonna.
Yeah.
Because I feel, I don't know, like, Ma'am didn't know that obviously Waverly was an angel because in a way that Nicole's like, please save my angel, blah, 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 as like a name, you know, like a nickname for her in a sense. Because like she's.
I feel like it was a nickname. And then now that it's true, she's like, easy, we're using that. We're going with it.
Yeah, yeah. And then her, like, Ma'am freaking out when Waverly burns her face off.
Yeah. It's, yeah. So it's, I really want to know what went down in that year and a half that they were gone. Like, because there's so much up in the air with what happened with Nicole because she was alone. Because I think Rachel said that she had left because she said Rachel was Nicole was, well, I can't speak. Nicole was alone for a long time and then Rachel came back again. So I'm like, did Rachel stay long enough for Nicole's leg to be well enough for Nicole to be on her own? And then Rachel leaves?
I don't know, because I feel like Rachel was there, but she's like, she clarified that she was there for 18 months. She didn't clarify that she was there for 18 months, 3 weeks, 4 days. So I think that Nicole was alone for the 3 weeks and 4 days.
Mm. Yeah, and I still think, like, Rachel still says, like, Nicole is alone, and I know, like, her and Rachel were together, but, like, they had just met.
Yeah, so, she wasn't with people that she, like, was close with.
Yeah, she couldn't really, truly rely on Rachel. She didn't know her. She didn't know what she could do or what she was like. So she really had to rely on herself, and I think for her being... Mm. With Waverly and having Nicole and the team, Wynonna and the team around, she's learned to have those people to rely on, and now she completely lost it. And so there's nothing there, and her leg's broken. She has nothing to do. She's lost her job, and all these monsters are around, and she's trying to protect the homestead. So there's obviously the PTSD of everything that's happened, and I know a lot of people do. Just want to see scenes of that, like what happened. Get into the backstory.
I want Nicole to have like a story time, and yes. When and she flashbacks. Describes, yeah, flashbacks.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like that.
There's a lot of good group scenes in 407, so I don't know when and if they'll do anything to do with the 18 months, 3 weeks, 4 days. Hopefully they do, but just, like, maybe not from off the bat.
Let's just have, like, Nicole and Wynonna going, like, shopping for the wedding. And Wynonna just pops the question. And Nicole's like, you know what? Fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you everything. I was like, and that just kind of puts their relationship closer together because Nicole is ready to really explain what happened because I don't think she has to anybody else. One, because she really couldn't or she forgot about it because the curse thingy that Ma'am put on her to get Waverly back.
Yeah.
So there's like, she kind of forgot about it. And then she, like, they were talking about it in like 4:05, and she's like, wait, I did something. And so that was kind of interesting, where like she like forgot, or like she just didn't think about it. That was really interesting. Where like, so I'm wondering, either she forgot because of PTSD, or was it because of the curse, or it probably could have been a mixture of both.
I feel like it was probably the PTSD and the fact that now that Waverly was back, she totally forgot what she'd done.
She was so focused on Waverly.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting, like, the scenes where, like, Waverly, like, tries to ask Nicole what's going on, and Nicole, like, changes the subject.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, she does not want to talk about it at all.
That's why I feel like she didn't want to talk to, and then I feel like the sort of death experience showed her that she doesn't have a lot of time, and no human does. Like, you never know when you're going to pass. And I feel like that whole like astral projection experience, and her finding out that she could like die from brain damage from being drowned for too long.
Yeah.
Sort of when Waverly popped the question again for the engagement, she was like, I don't know how long I'm going to have with her.
And with the engagement, I hate that scene. I love that scene, and then I hate it because there's like Winona and Doc being completely upset with each other, which the last because time I think like, that happened was season 3 when Doc was revealed he was a vampire or whatever.
Yeah, like it was very much a polar opposite scene. Like, you were so happy for Wayhop, but then you were so sad for Winona and Doc. Like, you wanted everyone to be happy.
And so, like, they're proposing, and Winona just has tears running down her face. And I think it's for both reasons.
Yeah.
She was already upset, but this was, like, happy upset. Not happy upset, that's weird. Just, like, happy tears for Wayhop.
Yeah.
But with that, I like, Nicole starts to say the proposal, and Waverly's like, no, I want to do it.
Yeah.
And it obviously has to do with Waverly being in the right place and being confident in herself and being able to do it. But I think it also, like, Waverly was going to be the first one to do it anyways, because at the end of season 3, she initially asked for the wrong reasons, I think, because she was kind of just like scared of what was going to happen.
Yeah.
So she kind of was just like rushing into it. But now she's like, okay, I'm completely sure now.
Yeah.
So I'm going to do it again. So I think it plays both ways into it.
And I also like the fact that in 4:05, Nicole, when she's obviously puking up everything, she's like to Winona, I don't know if Waverly wants to marry me anymore because of what I've done. Waverly finds out what she's done and still proposes. I also
she
like
that. She kills Ma'am. Like, she kills Ma'am for Nicole and what
That's what clicks with Nicole over, so like, because she was alone for so long and like maybe she'd forgotten a lot of things, like then to realize that it doesn't matter what you do, Waverly will still love you.
I mean, they've every single one of those characters has made a mistake that they thought was right for saving who they love. Like season 2, when Nicole was on her deathbed because of Widow Mercedes, Waverly gives up the ring that was the last seal to save Nicole. And so I feel like they were in the situation, just same situation, just 2 seasons apart. Like, they kind of did the same thing in a sense. So I think that they both kind of realized, like, I think Waverly already realized that people will love you for whatever mistakes you do. And now Nicole finally realized, as Nicole is fully being cemented into kind of the Earp family. Another thing, side note, because I saw this, I don't remember who posted it on TikTok, like who would take whose last name, or if they would take each other's last name at all.
I full on yelled in the comment section saying it's gonna be really hot. Like, it's not gonna be.
That's what I was saying. I was like, I like the idea of Nicole being an Earp.
Yeah.
I like the idea, but like, you can't get rid of that name.
I also think that Waverly now she's established that she's an Earp because of, like, she's her sister, with her sister and everything, and she chooses to have that name.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I feel like she's going to choose to be a Hot because she's so, like, connected with Nicole now, and that they're now not two separate units, they're one mm-hmm. unit because they're engaged and seem to be married. So I feel like if she does keep the Earp, she has that sort of still independence. But if she takes Hot, I feel like they would just be known as, like, a unit.
Yeah.
And also, why would you get rid of Hot? Their ship name would honestly disappear. It would just be like
a name.
It would be.
It's like, I thought originally, not realizing that Hot was actually part of the history of Tombstone, Arizona, I thought it was like a play on words.
I thought too, until I found out that it was a real family. Yeah. And I was like,
that's so smart of them. Like, it's a hot lady and her name's Hot. I was like, good job, red writers.
Got red hair.
Like, no, this has been planned out. And, like, I like the idea that Waverly is confident and able to choose where she wants to be and who she kind of belongs with. Not that she belongs to anyone. She kind of chooses where she fits in. Because she obviously chooses to still have the name Earp, even though she's technically not. She's only blood related to Winona through the maternal side. Mother's side. So technically she's not an Earp because Ward would be the relation to that name, but because she's with Winona, she's grown up and their connection, she keeps it and she's comfortable with it and she's proud of it, no matter if she's actually an Earp or not. And now she kind of gets to choose the, like, since I'm technically not really an Earp, even though I liked being an Earp and I'm comfortable with it, I can really tune into myself and connect myself with the person I love and be more of my own person that maybe has no ties. I don't want to say she doesn't have ties because she obviously does to the Earth. Like, she can be her own independent person when she changes names. And I just like the idea of Waverly being so confident and so strong and being able to, like, control herself. Because I think for so long she had this uncertainty of who she was, where she, what she belonged, what was she supposed to do, where now she's really in it and she can decide.
I think, like, because she chose to keep the name Earp is to be more obviously connected with Winona in the earlier seasons, and then her having a relationship with Nicole and it being this established that they're almost married, that she's like, now that I've rekindled my relationship with Winona and I embrace the name Earp, it's not my name, and that I will change it to Hot to be more connected with the one I love. And that's, I feel like if they just cut Earp and put it as Hot, I feel like that's Waverly growing up to another stage in her life.
Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, 4A alone is like such a journey for Waverly and Nicole to, like, have the mid-season finale be the proposal really kind of ties it up together individually and together. Like, we pretty much know where they are at this point.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really have any cliffhangers with them at the end of season at 4A. So I think things have tied together, and with 4B, I think it'll continue to grow in their togetherness. And I hope that their storylines, because a lot of the time their storylines are independent of each other. And I'm hoping they get more time together, because season 3, they were a little more separate than what we saw before. So I feel like 4B is the time where they can be together, because I think obviously with them planning a wedding or whatever, they kind of have to be, because they kind of have like these discussions about what they're going to do and stuff like that. So I feel like there should be more of them together than ever now.
Yeah, they're a unit now. They're known as a unit rather than themselves. And I do feel like from leaked pictures, it seems that they've moved out, but I don't know. That
do could they just be my speculation.
Well, I don't think it is Nicole's house.
See,
I think it's a house that they've I don't know, purchased in the Gap.
Yeah.
And now are living together. But I don't know. That could just be me wanting that to happen.
I wouldn't mind that to happen. Yeah. I'm just no, because I feel
like Waverly's now, she's kind of grown up out of living at home because mm-hmm. she's found that person. They can find somewhere together. And
yeah, I like, because we only see Nicole's house twice. We see it when in season 2 when Nicole gets bit by Widow Mercedes, and then we see it in season 3 in episode 307, which is one of my favorites. I love episode 7s.
Very much episode 7 top.
And so we only get to see it, so I was only hoping that they would live in Nicole's house to see more of Nicole's house. Because we only see it twice, and I want to kind of explore it more. Like, I want to go upstairs. Where's the bedroom?
True. Yeah.
But it'd be nice to kind of have their own new place together, because, like, they're really starting their lives now. So I feel like that's there. And I'm just interested because with Ma'am dead and Holt dead, who's the villain now? You know, who are they gonna focus on?
Is it Cleo?
Or is Eve gonna
Or is it Eve?
Yeah. Like, or is Cleo Eve? Or is there connection between them two? You know? Which I'm kind of hoping, like, that'd be cool. So it's where was I going with this? Off my train of thought. So there's season 4A wrapped up really nicely. And like for its own season alone it could have worked, but since we know 4B, like there's a lot more questions of like what's going to happen now, because it wrapped up so nicely. What else are they going to do?
All right, there you go, guys. That's the first part of my talk with Rami. I hope you guys really enjoyed it. Obviously, there's so much more to come. Like, we filmed probably over 3 hours of stuff, so there's a lot more. This is pretty much just half of it. I'll film the other half and put that together, and I hope you guys enjoy this. I'm excited to bring this podcast back and talk to some more people and some fans. So, yeah, I hope you guys enjoy, and I'll see you guys next time.